All right, we are in the Maamar HaSheni on page 144, where that's Ois Samach Dalet, where the Chaver digresses to talk about the fact that a lot of the secular knowledge was known to the Chachmei Yisrael as a, I don't know if it's as a product of learning of Torah or as a necessity for the learning, a little unclear, but certainly was a part of the ideas of the Sanhedrin and others. And he was listing the examples on the bottom line. 144. And he says even what remains with us today, today we don't have the Sanhedrin, even the Rabbi Yehuda Levi was way after the Sanhedrin, and he says, even the little that we have today, the nations wonder how it was known in those times. And the knowledge of the different physical blemishes that Pasal HaKayin and Mumei HaBehemosh and Mumei HaKarbin required a certain amount of knowledge. And the types of unhealthy flows of blood or other things that make a person tamei. And the cycle, woman's cycle. And knowledge in these areas could not have been known to people without help from heaven. And I mentioned to you over the years a number of the things. One was the fact that the sun is not fire, which was known to Chachmei Yisrael, even though the knowledge that the sun is actually not fire, it's actually just atomic explosions one after the other. That's really what it is, but it's not fire as we know it. Bishul Bechama is not what?
It's not plasma.
Yeah. So these things were known. And of course, most amazing was how Chazal knew the wisdom of the rotations of the heavenly bodies, and how the Ibor would follow, and from one of the incredible ideas is the calendar, which is based on the Ibor, on the fact that we have a solar lunar calendar, which combines the two. You have a poetic expression. And that which this nation, which is small in physical stature, and strong in tzura, strong in form. He explains in the bottom, the truth is, it's just mind-boggling how man, any human being, even how the Greeks calculated the heavenly movement, heavenly rotations, without a clock. There are no watches, there are no clocks. They had the heavenly clock, and they calculated. Now, the moon, one of the most incredible things is the calendar, which is based on the Maylid. Now, if you don't know better, you assume the Maylid is 29 and a half days, 44 minutes, and one chelik, month after month. If you listen to our Gabbai, every month he announces last week's Maylid plus 29 and a half days of 44 minutes and a chelik. And that's not really true. When there's a lunar eclipse, takes place at the Maylid, when the Earth is halfway between the Sun and the Moon, and not halfway in distance, but is positioned between the Sun and the Moon, when the Earth goes smack in between, that's the lunar eclipse, and that's the Maylid. And many years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Chodesh Elul, and there was an eclipse that was going to be seen in Eretz Yisrael, and I remember I was learning in the library in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and a couple of young men come over to me and they said, Avakasha, how could it be that the eclipse is not at the time of the Maylid? They announced the Maylid and the eclipse was, 5, 6, 7 hours off. And And that's in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, where the calculations are. So I told them that the Rambam says, that what we announce is the average Maylid. The earth, every month is not exactly the same. The moon does not travel around the earth in a perfect circle. It travels in an ellipse, and therefore not every month has the same amount of time. It can vary up to, I'm not sure how many hours, but perhaps even 24 hours off, maybe a little less than that, that it can be off. And this was all known. The Beis Yosef talks about it, Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, what to do when there's a lunar eclipse. So we had a lunar eclipse recently. So you have a sign. The sign here was wrong. The sign said the last time for Kiddush Levana is, it said a certain time, the end of Kiddush Levana. The end of Kiddush Levana is the reverse of, a solar eclipse is at the Maylid. A lunar eclipse is halfway through the month. Okay? I misspoke before. When the earth is halfway between the sun and the moon, that's the 15th of the month. That's when the moon is a full moon. When the moon comes between the earth and the sun, that's when it's the, that's when you have a solar eclipse. Okay. So solar eclipse is, a lunar eclipse is the 15th of the month. When it says on the sign, the last time for Kiddush Levana, it's based on the calculation. All our calculations, the Rambam says, are based on the Moilid Ho'emtsoi, the average. Moilid Ho'emtsoi, the average month, is 29 and a half days, 44 minutes, and one chalik. The average never happens. It's like the average family is, has 1.2 children, so nobody actually has 1.2 children, yet, that I know of. But that's the average. So the average Maylid is 12 hours, 44 minutes, 29 days, 12 hours and 44 minutes and one chalik. So the Beis Yosef says that in a month where you have a lunar eclipse, you have to change the last time for Kiddush Levana. When you have a lunar eclipse. Lunar eclipse is halfway through a month. Yeah. So he says lunar eclipse is the last time of the Kiddush Levana, and the sign's gonna say a certain time, and it sounds like a chuch v'tlula. People are gonna say that's ridiculous. The truth is, no one's gonna say today it's ridiculous, because no one thinks about an eclipse in the terms of the Maylid. But, right. So, but nevertheless, my point is this. My point is that it's mind-boggling how ancient man was able to establish a consistent calendar. It's one thing to have a lunar calendar, another thing to have a solar calendar. It's easy. You follow the moon, then you follow the sun. But to be able to calculate how often to make an Ibriyar, you do it 7 times in 19 years, and it's going to work, and it's been working ever since, that's an incredible calculation.
Can you show the godless of those who involved in Torah and in everything else?
Specifically in astronomy. Ki chachmaska, specifically in astronomy. Ki chachmas v'naskam
le'nei ha'amim. Of knowing the chachmas of the world through Torah and through everything else.
Either through Torah, or you can't really open a Torah and figure out the moon. The Torah obligates you to open your eyes and follow the moon. Yeah, okay, all right. You really, without observation, it's almost impossible. Yeah. Well, you have to know what it says in the Rambam. The Rambam writes that in his whole Yad HaChazaka, there's one place where he doesn't have Jewish sources. And that is astronomy. He says it was lost to us, the Seder Ibra. Since it was hidden, it was lost. And the Rambam writes that he follows the Greek model. He follows the Greeks. The only place, in the whole Yad HaChazaka, the whole Rambam, is by astronomy. He says he followed the Greek model.
Astrology,
you gotta believe in. But my point anyway is this point, that the cycle. Now, I've mentioned to you numerous times that there's a 19-year cycle, and 7 years are, ready? Which years are Ibiyars in the 19-year cycle? Year numbers? Come on. 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, and 19. Okay, if you look in this print, in the second wide line of the Itzer Nichbad, Heim Gimel Vav Ches, 368, Aleph Dalet Zayin Tes, 11, 14, 17, 19. Those are the 7 years. This coming year is the 19th year of the cycle. Now, if you take the year 5776 and divide it by 19, it divides evenly. It's the 19th year of the cycle. And this year, we have the year before last was in Iber Yar, and the coming year, because it was the 17th year, the cycle, 19th year. So of the whole 19-year cycle, this year, this coming year, Rosh Hashanah is going to be one of the latest we ever had. Because you have, within three-year space, you have two Iber Yars. So it's going to be unusually late. To the degree that Torah V'das, which starts yeshiva, after camps end, and almost never starts Rosh Chodesh El, will start Rosh Chodesh El, because it's going to be so late that it's going to be after the camps come to an end. But be that as it may, the idea that it was a chachma which lasted. Now listen to what he says. He says, Klal Yisrael is barely noticed among the nations, mi miuta daliseva galuseha, from it being few, poor, and in galus. Even though the Jewish people are spread all over the world, we're connected by Torah, which makes us one. And one of the amazing things about Torah is the calendar. Al ikra makumul mebeis David mitkufas levana shel nishtana mikama alpayim umeyashanim. The Gemara says, Rav Gamliel says, I have my side of astronomy, Bibes Avi Abba, from David HaMelech, from the house of David. He passed down the wisdom, the astronomical wisdom, and the calendar lasted like Nishtana Makam Alofim Meis Shanim. This calendar, which keeps the lunar and solar cheshbonos going together, lasted for thousands of years. The Greek calendar was changed already. Now, he's writing this before Pope Gregory came along and changed the whole calendar to the Gregorian calendar because everything was off. He writes already in his day, they set up a calendar. Caesar set up the calendar, Julian calendar. And after 100 years, they had to tweak it. They had to fine-tune the calendar so it should work. And our calendar, Nishal Mitase Rimneshu Nitlab Navua, remain by us because it's hanging on a Messiah that we have from David, which is hanging on Navua. V'ula ilu nichna shum shinoi, b'chelek echad, b'ikr hayayim, if they will be off by even a small amount, today, hayagayr mehefsin godl ma'ayin, l'roichim ha'shim sabayin ha'mayil v'ariyah. Over thousands of years, it would have added up to a tremendous difference. The knowledge of the seasons, and the stars. Okay, so this is what he says about astronomy. Here, there is one tzarachian. If the wisdom of the astronomy is a hechsher for Torah, or if it's guf talmud Torah. In other words, shaila is, do we say, well, the Torah tells us rules for making a calendar, Chodesh Aviv, that Pesach always has to come out in the spring, and therefore we have rules. So in order to do it, we have to know numbers. We have to do this. So is astronomy a hechsher? Or is astronomy guf divrei Torah? Is it itself divrei Torah? In other words, let's say I tell you, you want to build a wall for Shabbos, it's got to be a 10 tefachim. A 10 tefachim, let's say, are 36 inches. So somebody goes and he says, well, you know, he grew up in Europe. How many are 36 inches? So you start teaching him to convert meters to inches. Now, learning how much inches are, is that Torah or is that just a Hechsher Mitzvah? I would think it's a Hechsher Mitzvah. In order to know, you have to know. Learning astronomy is a Hechsher Mitzvah to know how to set up the calendar. It's a Gufa Mitzvah. What's the difference? The difference is today. Today, we have a calendar. He'll set up a calendar. We have a calendar. If I wanted to go and figure out the calendar myself, imagine I'm stuck on a, God forbid, on a desert island, and I have nothing, I want to figure out how to do the calendar. Now, if someone's stuck on a desert island, he has to do it. But I want to do it here and now. I don't need it. I have my calendar. Is that guf divrei Torah, or is that hechsher mitzvah? So Chaim Kanevsky writes in his introduction to his sefer on this topic, on the, called Shekel HaKadosh. It's not one of his most popular svarim because people don't learn it. I think it's out of print now. He writes that the Chazon Ish put into Seamus the papers on which he did the numbers, just numbers, calculations, multiplied, added. He put those papers into Seamus. He said, we're Chiddush. But he put it into Seamus.
It's
he must hold that it's guf to very Torah because of this pasuk. It seems the Gemara says Mishia Dea Lachshayv Tkufais. What's the lashon? Tkufais veChesbainais. The Gemara even calls Gematrias, and he does a machshav it. All of a kasev aymer, something like Devar Shabbazo brings one of these pesukim. If you know how to do it, if you know math, you got to figure it out. So this is his introduction here. Or his argument to the Kuzar is that these other bits of knowledge were needed not just for Sanhedrin, but for Limud HaTorah. Now where he ends here is a surprise to me. Aval Chochmas HaMusika, page 148. What about the wisdom of music? Chashev Ba'uma, the wisdom, now we're not talking only about singing, but the knowledge, the wisdom of music, chashuv ba'uma, is considered important to the Jewish people. Shehi mechalekas hanigunim umamedes aysam ala gedolim shabam. The Jewish people took the job of nigun and threw it onto the greatest Jews, Hei b'nei Levi, misaskim nigunim, b'bayis hanichbad b'yitim hanichbadim. They Kai Yisrael gave the Levim the job of nigunim. Levim weren't involved in Parnasa. This is a bad line. Look at this line. They didn't do anything except music. That's not what it means. It means they had no business, they had no job, except the music. The malacha music by itself is nechpedes. Not that music itself is grua p'chusa, but David v'Shmuel. Now David, we know, did music. Where do we see Shmuel? Did anything do with music?
What?
Shmuel. It says David HaMelech. It says it started by David HaMelech and Shmuel HaNavi. So David, I know. Where do we find Shmuel? Tests. I don't know. He says, don't you think they understood it? So he's saying is that the wisdom of music is chashuv. If you look in Tehillim, the introductory phrases, Lam Natsayach, what does Lam Natsayach mean?
Conductor.
To the conductor. Oh, yeah, I forgot how he said it. Rav Quinn had a Yiddish word for it. We went to, remember Mati Rav Quinn used to give Tillim Shir?
Yes.
He gave Tillim Shir. It was very interesting to say it mildly. He used to give Shir. He was so into it. The boys, it was the Shir. You didn't get tested on it. It was just like a once a week. Two or three classes were going to remember to the lamb on the, and he would give Shir. And his Yiddish was just very amused, very different. So he had a word for the conductor. Lam Natsayach, the conductor, Lam Natsayach, he had some Yiddish word for it. I don't know. Used to laugh. He once said, this is the little I remember, for Declaration of Independence, the Declaratia von Independencia. And everybody brought down the house, and he didn't know why people were laughing. He was talking Yiddish, you know, but anyway, my point is that, yeah, he's a great baruch. He was a wonderful person. I don't mean, it's just, but he had a word for Lam Natsayach and all that mizmar, shir mizmar, L'David mizmar, mizla David, they all have different meanings. You know the difference between mizmar David and L'David mizmar?
Shechina came first and then,
L'David mizmar, when David was in a good spirits, he said L'David mizmar. When he was down, they played the music first to bring him up, and then he did it. That's Mizmar LeDavid. Hashem Ra'i Lo Yechzar, Gam Ki Abegetz HaMavis, right? So hard times, you say Mizmar LeDavid. And LeDavid Mizmar, Hashem Aretzim Lo Yechzar, Tevel V'yashrevaz, when they built the base of English, it's a good time.
Is this an actual mitzvah or a mitzvah?
So that's what I'm wondering, if the Chachma music is Hechsha Mitzvah or Gufa Mitzvah. But studying it is what? Studying the different things. He says here, today was his Yartzeit. See how it came out? It came out just right. Okay. He has here a line. What does he have? Okay, anyway, I don't know. I have to tell you, I don't appreciate music, I'm sorry. I appreciate the words in Nigunim, but the Nigunim themselves, I'm just not... Yeah, I better be from the Misharim. I always joke about it. But I don't think, certainly since I'm Bar Mitzvah, I've ever turned on music for enjoyment. Not the car, not at home. I don't know why. You gotta teach me.
You like it, obviously.
I like when there are words that are set to a nigun. I like the words, but the nigun without the words, I don't feel without words. There's a big argument between Lubavitch Chabad. I don't mean the 20th century. I mean before. Between Chabad and Breslov, if the Ikka music is with words, or the Ikka music, the Chashivah is without words.
Without words is a higher madrega.
So that was their dispute, which is higher.
Which is higher,
music with words or music without words. So, it's interesting, Chabad is mostly marches, like army marches. So there, without the word, you got your, you have your thing. Okay, I don't know. I'm not one to speak about it. Ramesha was totally non-musical. Ramesha had a shita that after the Churban, you're never allowed to listen to music, except by bar mitzvah, by a wedding. Ramesha had a shita not to do it at all. And it wasn't. But he used to say it's my shita. He didn't tell anybody to follow it. There was an interesting thing that once happened.
Record music, say, it's just like during the rest of the year.
Ramesha, somebody once came to Ramesha. Boy, he didn't know. I think he asked Ramesha, "You're allowed to listen to recorded music on Sfira." So Ramesha said, "Why are you asking me? I hold there's no difference recorded and not recorded." He meant, "I hold you're never allowed to listen to music at all." The boy didn't know. He came back. He said, "Oh," Ramesha said, "But
okay." And music.
Okay.
It's all passed down from
generation. Yeah, it is. I'm saying I don't appreciate it. I don't say I'm right.
If
the Bnei Levi
were
talking
about good times.
It was.
And it's also Mashmah music. Remember that when Shaul was depressed. Right?
Yeah, he brings these examples. The show depressed. David HaMelech played music for him. Elisha HaNavi.
How important it is.
He says here that the response of the king, he brings it on the bottom. Kvar hurgalu kedumei harayfim l'rafes bo chaloyim. That doctors apparently in his day, the Kol Torah, Kol Yehuda was in the 1500s, 1600s. He said they had therapies that were music based on music to heal people. I mean, it doesn't heal the common cold, but
it's depression.